Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Glenn Cook, is here for the whole program on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Enjoy exceptional value and a comfortable atmosphere at the all-new Nevada Steak at Tamarack Casino. Great food, fine wines, and delectable desserts.
Ooh, your good times at Tamarack.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always delighted to welcome back to the program Glenn Cook. He is the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be back.
To start off, not on a down note, but with the passing of Sheldon Adelson, there were some folks that were concerned that the support for the Las Vegas Review-Journal would go away, but it seems to be the exact opposite. It seems like you're actually expanding rather than contracting.
Well, the company is owned by his family. He was not our sole owner, and although his passing, you know, created a huge void in Southern Nevada, the family's commitment to the news organization hasn't changed at all, and they've encouraged us to continue to be innovative and aggressive in the way that we cover Southern Nevada, and ensuring that we continue to evolve in a way that will ensure the vitality of the organization. And so, you know, there has been no change. There's been no change.
And the corporate headquarters for Las Vegas Sands, even though they sold the Las Vegas properties, gaming properties, is actually in Summerlin, correct?
They're still here. To my knowledge, their corporate headquarters is inside the Venetian. But they are, they're still here. You know, Sheldon's entire family is still here. To our knowledge, that's not going to change when the transaction for the Sands properties on the Strip actually closes at some point in 2021.
And we'll be having Rick Velotta on, your gaming correspondent, and we'll talk about the ramifications of the sale of those properties, but that is not your department. One of the things that the Adelson family talked about when they purchased the newspaper was the idea of expanding it into a regional newspaper. Is that still the plan?
You know, yes, we did have some ambitions to do that at the time. That is not the direction that we are heading in right now. I mean, the pandemic was an economic body blow from one end of this community to the other. And the reality of that was, you know, it affected properties up and down the Strip, every business that supports resorts on the Strip, every business that does business with someone who worked on the Strip, and it impacted us significantly as well in terms of our advertising revenue And the family, you know, they made a huge commitment to their workforce, and not just the Sands workforce in terms of continuing to pay their employees there, but they made a commitment to the Review Journal throughout the pandemic that they recognized that we served a truly essential function in terms of telling the story of the pandemic and giving the public the information that it needed. But the reality is, you know, we are not currently growing as a newsroom right now, and if we can't grow as a newsroom, we can't spread out into some of the markets that, you know, we thought years ago about having bureaus in regional markets, but that's not an approach that we're currently taking.
One of the things that surprised me, certainly in the early stages of the pandemic, was as they were naming essential businesses, that news really wasn't named as an essential business, even though it absolutely was.
Well, so you really had to dig deep into that document, Sam, to find where news was slotted. And going off of my memory, I want to say that they included, you know, broadcast, online, print media. We were under like telecommunications infrastructure, which was bundled in with utility workers. You really had to dig deep into that document to figure out that we were in fact declared essential workers, but we were the third or the fourth tier at that time. And we weren't eligible, you know, to be vaccinated, as I recall, until sometime in February. But we were in there, but boy, did you have to get out your magnifying glass to find us in that document.
And that was rather shocking to me. And, you know, I'm fine with wherever, you know, I'm put on the spectrum. There's a lot of people that I would put in front of me in terms of getting vaccinated, even though now I am vaccinated. But knowing how many young reporters were out there dealing with the story on a daily basis in the front lines, at hospitals, at all kinds of places, where there was the possibility of them either catching COVID or being able to pass it on to somebody, it seemed that they should have been higher up. That's just my thought. I'm not sure if you have an opinion on that.
But you know what you also have to recognize from a news leadership perspective is that, you know, there are a whole bunch of industries that you could make the case are essential workers, and there were vast categories of people who were well below where the news media was. So to me, it was a tough sell for us, for the media, to get out in front when you have people sick and dying, and especially recall how terrible things were after the holidays in the month of January, right? And for us to come out and say we're more essential than others, that's just not something that was going to play really well to the public, I don't believe. The group that, I mean, I think you could have made the case was among the most essential of all were resort employees. And you know, they were down the list, you know, and obviously we're counting on those people to bring this economy back right now. So that was a very, politically charged way to prioritize vaccination. But the good news is we're now in a place where anybody who wants it can get it. And I think the COVID numbers that you see now, you know, reflect trend lines that are indicative of, you know, at least enough people getting vaccinated to keep this from getting significantly worse right now.
And seeing the properties, finally being able to be back here in Las Vegas to tape programs, seeing the number of people coming through the casino properties and staying at the hotels, more on Fridays and Saturdays, obviously, because it's drive-in market rather than convention business. But as we're taping this, World of Concrete is arriving in the community, and that is going to make a huge difference, I think, not just in terms of money, but just in terms of pumping up the energy of the gaming industry and the convention industry to say, hey, we're on the way back now.
Yeah, the recovery of the convention and meetings industry is just as important as getting back international travel, if not more so, right, in terms of the millions of people who come here. And recall at the beginning of the pandemic when everything, so many sorts of business reverted to online and people were working from home, you know, you had this talk during that first summer a year ago about how, wow, we're looking at maybe a permanent change here. People can do their jobs, but guess what? Here we are a year later. You can't count the number of people who are sick of being on Zoom, Google Meet, Microsoft Teams all day. And we're at a place where across multiple industries in the United States, people cannot wait to get back to face-to-face interactions with their business partners and their colleagues. And I think the convention industry is obviously ripe for a huge comeback. And World of Concrete, you know, starting today, how this goes is going to be huge for the rest of the world to see how this gets pulled off safely, how people get back to normal and face-to-face meetings, amid still some safety protocols and health and safety protocols for these shows. But we have to get back those all of those big shows. We have to get them all back here.
Well, and I think you will. The head of United Airlines about 3 months ago was doing an interview, and he was asked about, you know, whether business travel was going to come back. And he said, well, it's like this. He said, if there are two salespeople trying to make a sale, one shows up in person, the other one does a Zoom conference, and the one that showed up in person makes the sale, everybody's going to come in person.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Yeah. There is really no substitute for personal interaction and the feeling that you can get from somebody when you have a face-to-face conversation versus, you know, sitting on a video conference. So, I think I don't know what the numbers will be for World of Concrete. We'll have to see how that goes this week. But the conference schedule is teed up over the next 7 months, heading into CES 2022 in January.
Well, to be honest with you, I never bought into this concept of, you know, this is going to change forever. People are going to be working out of their homes forever. It just doesn't make any sense to me. We are social animals. And as I said, with some humor at the beginning of this thing, because everybody needs to have a little humor in the middle of a crisis, that sex was going to play a big part in this. That if you were to shut down every nightclub in the country because of COVID, somebody would rent a barn and put on a rave, and kids would get together and have fun. It's part of human nature, it's part of hormones, and I think that people need that person-to-person contact. Obviously, there are some people that would prefer not to have that, but I think the majority of people need to have that. And we've seen, in a way surprising to me, how important locals gaming was, and I didn't really realize it, but the social interaction, it's almost like Cheers, where you're going to a place, even though it's a casino, where people know your name, where you meet your friends, where you have coffee and lunch. It's not just about the gaming, it's actually much bigger than that. And so when you look at the numbers coming in for how well the locals casinos are doing all across the country, but in particular here in Nevada, I think that tells you a story that maybe we didn't all appreciate as far as gaming goes.
Well, I mean, I agree with you about how locals casinos are that social environment for an awful lot of people who live here. But you can take some of the things that you just spoke of across the board in terms of there was a mental health toll that's ongoing to this day. Affecting. There was a lot of talk about how it affected school kids in particular, but I don't think a whole lot of attention or nearly enough paid to how it affected adults. And people need to get back to being around other people. It's for the good of themselves and for everybody.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Glenn Cook after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We continue our conversation with Glenn Cook. He is the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to ask you the last time we got together and we just ran out of time. As you know, I'm a big newspaper fan. I've been a reader since I was a kid. I grew up in a household that had 4 newspapers a day, 2 morning, 2 evening. So I'm there. And over time, we got used to a certain rhythm that you would expect Monday and Tuesday to be lighter in terms of news content. And then Sunday, you'd have a packed newspaper and you'd spend the morning, maybe a good portion of the day, consuming that news. How do you compose the news now when, A, the newspaper itself, if you're getting a print version, by virtue of the timing, has to be the delayed news, yesterday's news, and releasing news to where Sunday has perhaps the least amount of news than you would have in previous days? How are you able to plan that out to make it work?
Well, so I mean, I will tell you that a core part of our strategy as a news organization is we still have a huge premium on our Sunday print edition. We offer people a subscription to Sunday only. You can get the Sunday RJ plus unlimited digital access. And or you can take the print edition every day. We have thousands of people who take the Sunday edition plus the digital subscription that comes with it. And these are people who still value that print product that they can spend some time with. And we work weeks and months ahead in terms of planning what stories are going to go in Sundays. We want that to be our very best work. That's our best enterprise, our best investigations, our best features, our best profiles. And so Sunday print, still hugely important for us. And we want people who go out to their driveway on Sunday mornings and pick that up to have important stories to read that provide depth and context. And going to your point, saying, what lands in your driveway most days is what happened yesterday, right? But what we want to get, especially in Sunday's print product, is the stories that you can't get anywhere else and aren't necessarily pegged to a development that happened yesterday or even 2 days or 2 weeks previously, but something that looks forward, something that examines a problem that maybe you didn't even know existed previously. But Sunday print is we still spend a great deal of time on, and strategically a lot of planning goes into trying to keep that Sunday print product elevated to a place that it's worth spending time with.
All right, so that taken, how long do you see print surviving? Because it's a very expensive process. Mm-hmm. Is it 10 years out? Is it 15 years out? Where do you see it?
This is our industry's multi-million dollar question. The answer is, you know, it depends, right? It depends on the market. Look at what's happened up I-15 in Salt Lake City, okay? Salt Lake City, the Salt Lake Tribune, is now a Sunday-only print product with full digital. And you have many other markets around the country that years ago reduced the number of days of print, gone down to 3 or 2, right? So here in Las Vegas, we have a joint operating agreement with the Las Vegas Sun that requires us to print 7 newspapers a week.
Oh, really? The JOA requires that?
Yes. So we are obligated to print the Review Journal and the Las Vegas Sun 7 days a week.
Isn't that like a 45-year agreement?
35, I think.
Oh, okay.
Don't hold me off of memory to the year that joint operating agreement expired.
But it's 30 plus years.
Yeah, it was when both the Sun and the RJ entered into that. Now, so how long will we complete the term of that joint operating agreement, and will we complete it printing 7 days a week? You know, we're going to have to see. You know, we're in litigation with the Sun right now of
right.
our joint operating agreement, but there are people who think that, depending on the market, that print's going to last many years ahead. And there are, but at the same time, especially in smaller markets around the country, print's disappearing completely. You have print newspapers closing. You know, thousands of print newspapers have completely shut down over the last 15 years, especially across small towns around the country. So I will not pretend to have the answer of when print will end. But for now, it's still with us. We have tens of thousands of people who want to read it every day, who pay to have it delivered to their home. And it's still a viable product here in Las Vegas.
And in a lot of the other markets too. Let's make another break. We'll be back with Glenn Cook after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Glenn Cook. He is the executive editor of the Las Vegas Review Journal. Mobbed Up, which was an incredibly successful podcast, is coming back with Jeff Gurman as the anchor, I understand.
Yes.
What can we expect in season two?
So season two will drop later this month. We'll start rolling out at the end of this month. Season two is about the Detroit mob and their control of the old Aladdin Hotel Casino. sort of as our main backdrop to the larger story of how the state got all the organized crime families off of the Las Vegas Strip. So that's the focus of it. We're really excited about it. It's going to be a terrific serial that people can listen to now. They can listen to it 3 years from now. It's going to have that sort of shelf life to it.
Oh, no, absolutely. And Jeff, of course, lived this.
Yes. Yes. And Jeff brings personal experience, personal anecdotes to telling this particular story because he was in it. He was in it. He was covering the events that we're going to be talking about in this season of Mobbed Up.
A lot of us looking forward to that. And 7 at 7, how is that going?
7 at 7 has exceeded even our ambitious goals in terms of the number of people who are watching it across all streaming platforms. We're in line to end up with well more than 2 million views for the second quarter here. People really like the format, 7 minutes, watch it whenever you want. Huge success for us.
And that's where we have to leave it. Never enough time. Glenn Cook, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Sam.
Hope to see you on my next trip down here.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.